used to seeing things that, in my opinion, aren't quite right in our treatment of animals.
You know, the less we eat, the less violence is being done, and the less destruction to the environment.
Everyone eats, and everyone has to make a moral decision every time that we sit down to the table.
Welcome to the Animal Voices Radio Show, Western Canada's only radio program on animal advocacy and compassionate living. This is 100.5 FM Co-op Radio, CFRO, in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Today is Friday, May 25th, 2018. I am your host, Allison Cole, and I am joined here today by our co-host, Elise Jacobson.
Hi.
Hi, Elise. Well, I'm actually away this week at the Animal Liberation Conference in Berkeley, California, and I look forward to returning live next week, hopefully to report on this huge seven-day event hosting 1,200 animal advocates from around the world. As you may remember from last week's show, May is International Respect for Chickens Month, and I really think that chickens deserve to be respected and appreciated a lot more than they are. They are the most abused land animals on the planet, and like all animals, they don't deserve to be used and battered and treated like commodities. We have two interviews today in honor of International Respect for Chickens Month. If you're familiar with the very popular social media platform, the Dodo, you may have seen a very touching video that came out last month about a woman named Heather who was hiking the Appalachian Trail in the eastern United States, and she rescued a very beautiful and unique looking rooster who she named Eddie, and then proceeded to hike over 67 kilometers with him over 2 days until she could get him to safety. She saved this animal's life, and he is now living happily at an animal sanctuary in Maryland. It was such a touching video and has since gone viral. We will have Heather on today's show to share her story about rescuing Eddie the rooster. And for our feature interview, we have chicken expert Karen Davis on the show to speak with us about the ethics of keeping backyard chickens for egg consumption. If you're an animal advocate and you care about animals, you may have wondered, well, what is ethically wrong about eating the eggs from chickens who someone is keeping in their backyard and treating them well? It may seem like a benign action, but I really appreciate the information that Karen will be sharing with us today that digs into the complex issues surrounding this seemingly harmless action. She has lived with chickens for over 30 years and runs a chicken sanctuary in Virginia. She's also the founder of United Poultry Concerns, an organization that educates on all kinds of issues to do with chicken care and exploitation. She has much to say on the subject of backyard hens and treating chickens with respect. So stay tuned for that interview coming up in about 23 minutes. So, Elise, I'm wondering what first comes to mind when you think of chickens, because I personally have a lot of personal experiences with them. What about you?
Yeah, you know, I haven't spent a lot of time interacting with chickens personally. I did a few times when I was a child, but I'm trying to think in recent years, I don't think I've had the opportunity to meet too many of them, unfortunately. But I do watch a lot of videos of them doing various funny, wonderful things. And I think they're delightful creatures. They're pretty astoundingly intelligent, actually.
Yeah, I'd have to say, like, the first companion animal that we ever had in my family was actually a chicken. So I never had a dog growing up to begin with, or a cat or anything. We had chickens, and we had a companion animal chicken who we named Willie. And she lived with us for a couple of years. And my memories, I cherish these memories that I have as a child growing up on Vancouver Island. We're the only family to have basically a quote unquote, we called her our pet chicken, our companion animal chicken. And I remember that in grade two, I used to have to keep a daily journal of our teacher would make us like write a journal entry, right? And I had all these ideas that I remember I had backlogged, all these ideas of stories that I wanted to tell about Willie, because there are always these crazy and fantastic and fun and amazing adventures that would happen with Willie as our free roaming chicken in our urban community. So she used to live with us in our house, well, outside, and she'd have like the whole backyard and all of our gardens and everything, but she would also just be free free roaming on the street, so she would never go further than two houses to the right and two houses left. So we always kind of knew. So whenever we didn't know where she was in the backyard and we wanted her, we would just go out on the street, or I would go out on the street and I'd go wheelie, 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 and she would just come like running, like this lumbering black chicken.
They can run fast, hey? I've seen videos of chickens running. They're pretty fast.
Well, you know, so she knew we were her home. And, I will just always have those memories and just being able to really appreciate chickens for who they are as people, because they are little people, and they're just like us. They want to enjoy life. Mm-hmm. They want to have the freedom to roam and peck. They love dust bathing in the sun, and I love watching them do that. Mm-hmm. And they even love, I mean, chickens are a domesticated species as we know them here in Canada, right? And and they enjoy interacting with humans because we had Willie and she loved us.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know a lot of chickens are pretty snuggly. They love to be picked up and held close. And was Willie very cuddly?
Yeah, well, her and my mom. She would attack strangers, like who would come knocking on the door.
So
that was one of the stories about Willie that I could share. But anyways, up next, we have another special story about chicken appreciation and rescuing animals in need.
For our first interview today, we have Seattle-based animal advocate Heather Bolent on the show. Last month, Heather was featured on the social media website The Dodo after experiencing the most unusual and heartwarming encounter with a lost rooster who she found while hiking the Appalachian Trail in the eastern United States. She named this beautiful rooster Eddie, hiked through three states and over 67 kilometers with him, and today she is here to share her story of rescuing Eddie the Rooster. Hi, Heather. Welcome to the Animal Voices Show.
Hi, Allison. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you for coming on the show today for International Respect for Chickens Month. First, I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about you. You're from Seattle, Washington, which is not too far from us here in Vancouver. And I know that you have a soft spot for chickens. What has your relationship been like with animals throughout your life? And can you tell us a little about your animal advocacy?
Sure. So I've actually only been living in Seattle for about 4 years. I'm originally from Maine, so the complete opposite side of the country. And that's really where my love for animals started. I had pet chickens when I was younger and just grew to love them just as much as I love my cats and my dog. So about the age of 10, I decided that I didn't want to eat animals anymore. And I told that to my parents and they said, "Oh, so you want to be a vegetarian?" And I was like, "Yes, that's it. That's what I want to be." So they were thankfully fine with that. They didn't try to force me to eat meat or think that I was going to be unhealthy. And I never looked back from there. About 5 years ago, I made the transition finally to going vegan. And that was after attending a conference called the National Conference to End Factory Farming. And that was held by an organization called Farm Sanctuary. So it was there that I met hundreds of other people who were vegan, and I learned more about the egg and the dairy industry. So I decided to look into it further and decided that was the path that I wanted to choose. And then I went to graduate school around that time for environmental studies. I was able to get an internship with Farm Sanctuary. So I lived on their Southern California sanctuary as their education intern and just had the time of my life being around farm animals all day and advocating for them, giving tours of the sanctuary. And then I also, around that same time, did an internship with the Humane Society of the United States, and I was their public policy intern with their farm animal outreach department. So I did that for a while, and then pretty soon after that, when I graduated, I got a job with the Humane League, which is an international farm animal protection organization, and I started working for them as their Seattle grassroots director. So I did that for about 3 years until I decided it was time for a change, and that's when I left to hike the Appalachian Trail. And I love the Humane League, and I, you know, wanted to still help out farm animals, so I decided to use my hike as a fundraiser to raise money for the Humane League, and raised almost $10,000. So I was pretty happy about that.
That's an amazing story, Heather. Such a great background story to take us into this story that has to do with you encountering a rooster on this 3,500 kilometer trail in the eastern United States. So I'm wondering if we can talk about that. You're hiking this trail and doing it as a fundraiser, which is amazing. Can you describe what happened when you suddenly saw this very unique looking and beautiful rooster all alone on the trail?
Sure. So I was hiking in the morning. I was hiking along listening to an audiobook on my earbuds, and I crossed this little road that was kind of out in the middle of nowhere in the woods. And shortly after that road, off to the side of the trail was this crazy-looking rooster, like you said, just funny hairdo, and I just stopped in my tracks and just couldn't believe what I was seeing. So I got up my phone and I started taking a video of him, and then it just kind of dawned on me how strange that situation was, because you don't normally see chickens in the middle of nowhere. So I kind of just sat down nearby and I tried to feed him some snacks, and he didn't really seem interested. He was just sort of scratching around in the leaves. And so I sat there for a good half an hour, just sort of watching him, and he didn't go anywhere. He just sort of stayed nearby. I went back up to the road, which again was pretty isolated. I ran down the road in both directions looking for any houses nearby. I couldn't find anything. There's no farmland. It was just forest. So I was concerned that somebody had just sort of dropped him off on the side of the road. And I didn't have any cell phone service there, so I couldn't call animal control or couldn't call anyone for advice, and there was no one else around on the trail. So I just did the next best thing, which is I just sort of scooped him up and tucked him under one arm and just started hiking with him.
Yeah, well, in the photos that are shared of you on the Dodo post and in the video as well, he looks very comfortable with you. Like, he looks like he was just like, okay, I'm just gonna go with you now. Like, what was his demeanor like when you were like, he just let you pick him up, and he just, it seemed like he was just being very cooperative, or maybe he knew you were helping him. Like, what was that like, his just sort of like your personal connection between you two, you and a rooster in the middle of nowhere? What was that like?
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. He was pretty content for the most part. He just sort of sat under my arm, or I held him against my chest sometimes. Every once in a while, he would try to struggle and flap his wings and try to get free. And I would set him down on the ground and let him sort of peck around at the grass, or I'd try to find a source of water so he could drink. And then it was sometimes a little bit of a struggle to try to catch him and pick him back up again, just because he just wanted to do his own thing. But I knew that, you know, that wasn't the right thing to do, just leave him in the middle of nowhere, because I was trying to bring him to a town at least, where I could bring him to a sanctuary or a farm or find his owners somehow. So I just kept hiking with him. It was very hot and humid, so I was just sweating. We were climbing up mountains together. It was a very intense experience. And he wasn't that heavy, but when you're hiking for 10, 15 miles and you have a 30-pound backpack, the weight definitely adds up. Yeah, I had to shift him from arm to arm and sort of get him comfortable, and very interesting. We met some people along the trail who initially thought that he was like a little fluffy dog, and then it wasn't until we got up close that they actually saw that he was a rooster. And so I would stop and let them pet him, and he did just fine. He didn't mind having people pet him. He didn't seem to mind to be the star of the show, so to speak.
So what was the duration of all this? Because I understand it was 40 miles, which is 67 kilometers here in Canada, and he actually slept overnight in a tent with you. So how long was this all over?
Yeah, it was only about 2 days. Typically, that would have taken me 3 days to do, but I had called up my boyfriend at the time and discussed with him what we should do. And so my boyfriend had a connection with an animal sanctuary called Poplar Spring animal sanctuary and reached out to them, and they were willing to take him in. So then we had a plan, and he agreed to meet me in Harper's Ferry, West Virginia, in the morning before he went to work. So I had a goal of trying to get to that town within a certain time frame. So I had to book it through the woods. So we did about 15 or so miles the first day. And then as soon as it got dark, we found a campsite. And luckily there was somebody there who had actually lived on a farm with chickens. And he thought it was quite funny to see me walking up to the campsite with a rooster. He thought that was going to be my dinner for the night, because apparently that's not too surprising in that part of the country. So I let him hold on to Eddie, the rooster. That's the name that kind of came to me when I started carrying him. And then I set up my tent, and then I put some food in there and a little water dish and sort of let Eddie have the reign of the tent for a while I sat outside and had my dinner and gathered water. And then, yeah, we just sort of tucked in for the night together. He just sort of sat down in the tent near my head, and it was very peaceful. He was very quiet and content, and we slept only for about 2 hours, because in order to get to the town the next morning, I had to do some night hiking. Plus, it was so hot during the day and it was supposed to rain the next day that I just figured it would be more comfortable for both of us to get that hiking done sooner and in the cooler night hours. So in the middle of the night, I had to pack everything up, and it was kind of funny waking up the rooster. You know, usually it's the other way around, you're being woken up by the crowing rooster, but in this case, I was waking him up, and I was wearing a raincoat, so I tucked him into my raincoat, and then we just started hiking. I had my headlamp. We stopped at a few park restrooms so I could put him down on the ground in the restroom and give him some oatmeal that I had made for him that morning for breakfast. So we just kept going that way until finally we made it into town. So it was a very, very intense experience. It did start raining on us towards the end, and I set him down on the ground, and he just stood there in the rain as though he had never experienced rain falling on him before, which I thought was interesting. He just seemed to really enjoy it and just enjoy the feeling of the rain. So I almost wondered if maybe he had never really experienced that before, if he had been, you know, inside in a cage his whole life, because he is a fancier show chicken.
Right. Right. So yeah. I want to talk about taking him to Poplar Springs Sanctuary. That just happens to be one of my favorite places on earth. It's in Maryland in the U.S., and I can't wait to go there again to see Eddie, who has now been renamed. They already have a peacock there named Eddie, I believe, so they renamed him to Mason, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you have gone since to visit Eddie, now Mason, at Poplar Springs Sanctuary. How does he seem to be finding it there?
Oh, he loves it. He's a much different rooster than when I met him. So he's much more rambunctious. He's much more lively now. He's really grown into himself. Apparently, he was only about a year old when I found him. So he was pretty young. And they had brought him to the vet when I dropped him off at the sanctuary to get him all checked out. And they found out that he was severely underweight, and he had lice and mites and two internal parasites. So I think because of all that, it made his demeanor easier to handle when I was hiking with him. He seemed, you know, more docile then, but now he's very healthy and he's happy and he's got lots of hens to chase around all day. So so he's a much different rooster. He's very happy, and he's definitely living his best life, I think.
That's awesome. I will definitely be looking for him the next time I'm at Poplar Spring. So one poignant aspect that this story makes me think about, and a lesson we can learn from it, is the message of our role on this planet as stewards on this earth. Now, other people hiking the trail could have rescued Eddie, but they didn't. They passed him up. I mean, other people must have seen him. You also could have just left him there as well, but instead, you took action and ended up saving saving a life with a lot of effort. And thank you for taking that action, Heather. So what would you like to tell our listeners about taking the lead to act for animals when you see an animal in need?
So yes, there were hikers that saw him on the trail up to a week before I saw him. Yeah, I even communicated with a few of them and they said that, you know, they saw him, they took pictures of him, but they were too afraid to pick him up because people do have this impression that roosters can be aggressive, which is definitely not always the case. And they also just thought that, you know, somebody else will know what to do with him or he probably belongs somewhere. So it was easy for me to see how they could think that because, of course, it requires extra effort. But, you know, if you're an animal lover and you come across an animal who needs help, in some ways you kind of have to kind of wake up and realize that you're in that position for a reason. You know, like it just so happens that you're someone who can help out and you're put in this position where you can do something. And not everyone is an animal lover. Not everyone will take that initiative to go the extra step and help out in those situations. So I sort of had to remind myself that no one else is going to come along who's going to know what to do any more than I know what to do. And of all the people who could do something for him, I was a pretty good candidate for that because I do love animals so much. And of course, I am familiar with chickens. And so it just sort of seemed like I was in the right place at the right time. So I think it's just one of those things where you can't just give into that crowd mentality of thinking that someone else is going to know what to do or someone else, you know, is going to do a better job than you. You have to take it into your own hands. And like I said, it may be a little bit extra effort, but it's so worth it in the end for, you know, the animal. And of course, you'll feel better for it. And I would just say, you know, just remind yourself that you can make a huge difference in the world. And if you find yourself in that situation, that, you know, it might have been meant to be.
Well, thank you for that. It's International Respect for Chickens Month, and I know that chickens are your favorite animal. Do you hope that sharing this story will inspire others to love and appreciate chickens as much as you do?
For sure. Yeah, I've received a lot of feedback from people about how much they love chickens and how happy they were to hear that he was saved. And chickens are just amazing animals. As I learned when I had them as pets, they have their own individual personalities. They're just so interesting. They're just like little people. And some of them are more outgoing than others. And some of them are funny and some of them are shy. And so when you spend time around these animals, you really get to know them on a personal level. And you see just how fascinating they are. Even though from an outsider's perspective, they all may look similar. Once you really immerse yourself and really get to know these animals on a individual basis, you realize that they're so smart and they're so personable and they're just so interesting. I love chickens. So yes, I definitely hope that people will be able to see them as individuals like Mason.
Well, thank you so much, Heather, for sharing your story on rescuing Eddie the rooster, who is now named Mason and living at Poplar Springs Sanctuary in Maryland, which I encourage our listeners to visit. It's really a beautiful place. To see this video story from the dodo, you can find it on our Facebook page at Animal Voices Vancouver or on our website at animalvoices.org. Thanks again, Heather, and happy International Respect for Chickens Month.
Yes, thank you.
Summer will be here before you know it, and summer means it's time for the 41st Annual Vancouver Folk Music Festival. On July 13th, 14th, and 15th, come down to Jericho Beach Park for an incredible lineup of musicians from BC, Canada, and around the world. This year's festival features more than 50 artists, including Nico Case, Rodney Crowell, The Dead South, Daka Braka, and Rai Cooter. With longtime favorites and stunning newcomers, the Vancouver Folk Music Festival is sure to have all the music you need to build a soundtrack for your summer. For ticket information and discounts, visit thefestival.bc.ca. The Vancouver Folk Music Festival, July 13th to 15th. We'll see you at the beach.
Means non-commercial, listener-powered. Community radio. 100.5 means music. Public affairs.
I have a dream.
and art programming.
I wish I loved the human race. I wish I loved its silly face.
You won't find anywhere else on the radio dial. 100.5 is not owned by a huge corporation. We are owned and operated by people like you, by your community. 100.5 CFRO Vancouver Cooperative Radio. Find our complete program schedule at cooperadio.org.
You are listening to Animal Voices on Vancouver's Co-op Radio, 100.5 FM CFRO. 100% listener-sponsored radio broadcasting live from the east side on unceded Coast Salish territories.
For our feature interview today, also for International Respect for Chickens Month, we have Karen Davis on the show. Karen is the founder and president of United Poultry Concerns, which is the world's foremost nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the respectful treatment of domestic fowl. UPC runs a haven for chickens in Virginia and also teaches people about the egg and chicken meat industries, the natural lives of free chickens, pleasures and benefits of human-chicken companionship, and alternatives to chicken farming and the use of chickens in education and scientific experimentation. For today's interview, Karen will be speaking with us about the ethics of keeping backyard chickens for eggs. Hello, Karen, and welcome back to the Animal Voices radio show.
Thank you, Allison. I'm delighted to be back with you.
Thank you so much for coming back on the show today to speak with us about the issues of keeping chickens in your yard for eating their eggs. We here at Animal Voices, we promote and educate our listeners on veganism. That is not using animals as commodities for their body parts or secretions. And an egg is a secretion of a chicken. However, I know that some people think that it can be a benign and natural way to consume eggs by not participating in the factory farming industry, by simply keeping some chickens in your backyard, taking care of them, and eating the eggs that they lay. So as an ethical vegan yourself, and as an expert on all things to do with chickens, having spent over 30 years of your life with chickens, can you speak with us about the points that a person who cares about animals should know if they are wondering what is the harm in eating eggs from backyard hens, especially if this person is vegan themselves right now?
Well, if the person is vegan themselves right now, then they wouldn't be eating eggs. So, because a vegan is...
They're wondering what's wrong with it.
Well, it's a complicated issue when you talk about people keeping hens, particularly if they're keeping the hens because they really like the hens, or they've learned to really love and like the hens and recognize that they have personalities and all the wonderful things that those of us who keep chickens know about them and have learned from direct personal experience. But we do get the question frequently, well, what's wrong with eating the eggs of chickens you're caring for well and you really love them and they have a good life with you and they're going to lay eggs anyway? So one answer I have to that question is that I stopped eating all animal products in 1983. And even though I've been running a sanctuary for chickens since 1985, I have never eaten any of their eggs, nor do I ever intend to. Although I ate eggs growing up, because it never really even occurred to me for the longest time where an egg came from. And I know many people are in that same pathetic condition of ignorance as I was. But having kept chickens since 1985, having learned about what egg production really involves where a hen is concerned, it's a very, very complicated process. It isn't just like, well, they just lay an egg. I've written extensively about the egg-laying process inside a chicken's body or any bird's body, and it's a very complex, biologically demanding activity. So one thing I would say is that no one ever wants to do, who cares about chickens, will do anything to increase their production of eggs, because egg production is hard enough on birds, hens, but it's even more difficult when, for example, people keep the lights on burning for 16, 17 hours, which is what the industry does and what commercial farmers do. They'll keep the lights burning because chickens' bodies respond to the length of daylight hours. So farmers and the egg industry will make use of that fact by keeping artificial lighting burning so that the poor bird's body is forced to just churn out eggs. One of the things about egg production is that hens have been bred to produce many, many more eggs than they would normally do in the natural world. Chickens come from the tropical forests of Southeast Asia, where they continue to live to this day, raising their families and living a normal life. And a hen, a jungle fowl in the tropical forest, lays about 2 clutches in the spring and early summer, each comprising about 12 eggs per clutch. That means she lays about 24, 25 total eggs per year. Now, the hens who are used in commercial egg production, and this also includes the backyard chicken farming aspect of it, have been bred and inbred and crossbred to lay anywhere from 180 to 250 or more eggs per hen per year. People need to understand what a tremendous burden this is on the chicken's body. It's been bred into them to keep laying all these eggs. So when we think about how benign it may appear for a hen to just simply lay eggs, we do need to understand that it is very complicated for them, and human beings have made it into a serious biological tragedy for hens because they are being forced to churn out all these eggs as a result of the breeding that's been done to them. And then, as I mentioned, the egg industry exacerbates the problem and their suffering even more by keeping lights burning in these chicken houses for anywhere from, you know, really 17 hours or more. And in the winter, chickens, hens are not supposed to lay eggs anyway. They're supposed to take a rest from egg laying. And since people tend to view chickens as separate from other birds, which they are not, it needs to be understood that chickens, like all birds, are intended by nature to lay eggs for one purpose. The eggs would normally be fertilized by the rooster, and they would be intended to hatch baby chicks for the next generation of birds. That's the whole purpose of a chicken's egg. It isn't for humans to consume. A normal hen would have eggs with an embryo inside, and the embryo would be growing along with its siblings for the whole purpose of creating a new generation of chickens. So the whole egg business and the whole idea of keeping hens for eggs is a very artificial, human-contrived situation that doesn't bear any real relationship to the life of hens and their families in the natural world. So as to whether people who want to keep chickens because they enjoy the pleasure of having companion chickens, which is a great pleasure, I have to say, after 30-some years, we encourage people not to eat their eggs. And I'll give an example from my own experience. I urge people not to eat eggs. People will say, well, yeah, but you keep chickens, so what's the problem? Well, I'm not going to tell other people that they should not eat eggs and say, but it's different for me because I happen to run a sanctuary and I know all my chickens are treated nicely and have a wonderful life and a compassionate and caring life, so therefore it's okay for me to eat their eggs. So I want to practice what I preach, and I find it just so terribly distressing that for the majority of people, certainly in the United States and in Europe and probably increasingly around the entire world, they don't even think of a hen, a chicken hen, apart from their eggs. if you even read almost any type of article from any media source, even a source that is sympathetic and friendly towards an animal rights point of view, there's always a kind of assumption there, a presumption, that how many eggs or the type of eggs that a hen will lay, the quality of the egg, how it tastes, is an essential part of the story of a hen. So it's a very unfortunate association that we humans have made unfortunate. It's not unfortunate in nature, but we've made it complicated. So I would just urge people who say, I want to keep some chickens for eggs, I would just urge them to don't even think of keeping chickens if all you want them for is eggs. I can't force people to not gather up their eggs and eat them. I explain to people what our position is. Our position is that we want to encourage people, to urge people to view chickens and all animals for their own sakes and not as sources of body parts for us to extract or make use of for our own culinary pleasure.
So, Karen, what do you do with all the eggs that are produced on your sanctuary?
Well, certainly at this time of year, Allison, hens are laying more than they lay more eggs at this time of year than at any other time of year. And again, it's because the daylight hours are so long. And that's what their reproductive system is responding to, not the warmth or not the heat or anything like that, but simply to the length of daylight hours. So between that fact and the fact that most of our birds have come from the egg industry, most of our hens, or from an egg-producing background, a breeding situation or something like that, they are laying a lot of eggs. Well, back in 1985, I was one of the first volunteers at Farm Sanctuary, which most people have heard of, but at that time it was just a very tiny sanctuary on a piece of rented property in Avondale, Pennsylvania. And driving to Farm Sanctuary from Maryland, we were in Maryland at the time, I was really introduced to farmed animals for the first time in my life. And certainly introduced to chickens. And that's where I learned about feeding the eggs that they lay back to not only the chickens, but to all the other farmed animals. Now, at the time, Lori and Jean, who started and ran Farm Sanctuary, were total vegans at that time, and so was I. So none of us would even consider eating the hens' eggs. Or, for that matter, the eggs that were laid by the rescued ducks they had or the turkeys. So their practice was to boil the eggs and then feed them back to all of the rescued farmed animals who lived there. So I took over that same practice with our hens, our chickens here, and other birds. We simply hard-boil the eggs. In some cases, we don't hard-boil them, I'll be honest. Sometimes I'll just throw the eggs raw out to the hens and the other birds here, and they'll just simply run out, and they will consume them. And when I learned, what I learned at Farm Sanctuary, among other things, was that if you so much as cracked an egg in the barn or in the stall, every farmed animal would come racing to get a bite, get some of it. So I learned that very quickly. So that's what we do. I mean, there has to be some solution to, given the fact that we humans have created these constraints upon what chickens and other animals can do that would be in their best interest. Therefore, for example, we do not ever allow any of our hens to incubate and raise their chicks. It's very sad that they can't do that because they want to do that. It's their natural disposition in the spring and early summer to want to do what they evolved to do, which is to sit on eggs, hatch them under their bodies, teach their chicks how to survive, and spend several months, in at least 2 months, just being with their chicks. So we can't do that because, first of all, as a sanctuary, we cannot populate our own sanctuary with our own chickens. And secondly, we do not feel that chickens have a good prospect in this world with human beings as things stand right now. So we do not want to add any chickens or any animals to a world that is so sadly and tragically unfriendly to chickens and other farmed animals. And since we know that even though we have a very secure sanctuary with a future, you never know what's going to happen in the future that you didn't expect. So we never want to feel that we added chickens to the world we don't want to do that. We want to be a home and a rescue operation. We want to give a home and be able to provide a home for as many chickens who are out there who desperately need a home, including both roosters and hens. And also we have 4 rescued ducks here and a peacock. We want to be able to give a home to birds who desperately need a home, who have no other options. So we're not going to add new baby chicks to our population when our purpose is to give a home to those who already exist and need a home. We wish that chickens could live a natural life and could hatch their chicks. And I should point out that roosters in nature are very, very involved in the family life of their hens and their chicks. Roosters will help a hen, will join a hen in finding the exact right nesting spot. They will often participate in caring for the chicks. The roosters like to carry the chicks around on their back, and they'll carry them up the chicken ladder into a little chicken house in the more normal types of farmyards. Again, we don't support raising chickens or anything like that, but just trying to give a picture that even in more open, traditional types of farming operations, as well as among feral chickens, that is, chickens who had been domesticated for anything from cockfighting to some type of farming operation, but who have gotten away from human involvement, are able to live very successfully on their own. And they will conduct themselves, both the roosters and the hens and the chicks, just like wild chickens. And so they're very family-oriented birds. And it is very sad that one of the biggest, saddest things about this backyard chicken-keeping phenomenon that has developed in the past 20 years as a response to opposition to so-called factory farming or industrialized chicken farming, is that most towns and cities and counties that have rezoned their municipalities to allow the keeping of chickens by local residents only allow local residents to keep maybe 4 or 6 or so hens, but they ban the keeping of all roosters. So for every hen who is born, there's a rooster or even 1 or 2 roosters per number of hens who are born. And these roosters, for the most part, have no home because people don't want them. If they're legal, which in most municipalities, they are not legal. But if they are legal, then neighbors complain about the crowing and all kinds of problems arise. In some cases, some roosters will become very proprietary toward their hens, and they can even become aggressive toward human beings who are trying to care for them because these roosters don't want anybody interfering with their hens and their own family life, and in some cases that would include chicks. So the roosters are particularly victimized by the backyard chicken keeping phenomenon that has taken hold among so many people who want to live what they think of as more naturally. But an irony of that desire to escape factory farming and live a more natural or local kind of life, including keeping chickens for one's own use or companionship or whatever, is that most of the people who are buying chickens are getting them from huge factory farm hatcheries. Many of these hatcheries are located in the Midwest, but they are also scattered around in other parts of the country. And these hatcheries are factory farms. The eggs are taken away from the mother hens, who are themselves kept in factory farming conditions. They usually consist of 10 so-called breeding hens per one rooster. They're kept in crowded indoor conditions, and the eggs are constantly taken away from these hens and the roosters, and they are artificially incubated in these huge hatchery drawers. The baby birds hatch without a mother, and baby birds, chickens, and other birds have an inborn sense of their own mother hen, whom they communicate with, including with their siblings, long before they hatch. In the natural world, the embryo knows the mother hen and his or her own siblings long before they actually hatch from the eggs. So these huge hatcheries, which accommodate and are a part of the industrialized chicken and egg industry, are also the suppliers of these chickens who are being used and designated as backyard chickens. So when people think that they are escaping factory farming by ordering a dozen or so eggs from a hatchery, they are not escaping factory farming. They're just simply supporting another branch or another aspect of the whole poultry farming, industrialized poultry industry. And it should also be pointed out that because most of the male birds are going to be destroyed by the hatcheries as soon as they struggle out of their shells in the artificial incubators, a lot of hatcheries will deliberately include baby roosters in the package of hens that they send to buyers. Now, sometimes the roosters get into these boxes, these packages, by mistake because of sexing errors that are sometimes or really rather frequently made by the chicken sexers. But also, the hatcheries will deliberately include, let's say, two or three newborn rooster chicks in with the hens who were ordered. And then people get their chicks, and they're happy to have them. Of course, some of them might die along the way because of the conditions of stress and lack of water and food that the chicks endure in being airmailed from the hatchery to the buyer. But then the buyer, the family who thinks they have all hens, discovers after about 5 months that, one or two of these, maybe even three of these so-called hens are actually roosters. They're starting to crow. They're starting to manifest the characteristics of a rooster. And now people are confronted with the fact that they have one, two, or three birds that they either are not allowed to keep legally or they don't want regardless. So then they're contacting sanctuaries such as ours and the other sanctuaries that they learn about, urging somebody to help them take in these roosters since they can't keep them. In other cases, they'll take the unwanted roosters to local animal shelters, and in many other cases, they'll just dump them somewhere. They'll dump them in the woods. They'll dump them along a highway or near a convenience store and just sort of hope or expect maybe that those roosters will manage to survive on their own. And in fact, our projects manager, Hope Bohannick, in Sonoma County, California, has twice now rescued chickens who were dumped at a local Walgreens in Sonoma County. And yes, the people who work at Walgreens try to feed them, and local customers will come by and take pictures and all of that. But a hen and her baby chicks were abandoned there once last year, and our projects manager managed to gather them all up, and she fortunately was able to locate a sanctuary nearby that could take that hen and those baby chicks. Now, we don't even know how many of those baby chicks might have themselves been roosters and what that would have resulted in. But then just a month ago, when Hope was by the that little convenience store next to the Walgreens, lo and behold, there's a whole flock of roosters living right there who have been dumped, who have been abandoned. And one of them was got into a fight with another rooster who was defending his territory, and she managed to pick up the rooster who had been injured in this fight, and she was able to rehabilitate him and find him a home. But again, this is the exception to the rule. Most of the roosters are not going to find good homes. Most of the roosters are going to be abandoned. They're going to be killed by predators. If they go to an animal shelter, the animal shelter will keep the roosters for only so long, and then they're going to kill them because they don't have any space for them. And most animal shelters really don't. They accommodate dogs and cats, and they're not even accustomed to caring for roosters or any other chickens. And in many cases, they don't even know how to. They don't know what to feed them or what they need, and so forth. So now, with all due respect, there are shelters who are doing everything they can to give the best kind of temporary home they can to roosters and hens, and in some cases, baby chicks. But they only have so many resources, and their resources are, for the most part, allocated for the care and feeding and so forth, and adoption of cats and dogs, kittens and puppies. So these are just some of the issues that are intrinsic to the backyard chicken keeping phenomenon, and it looks benign on the surface, but when you read the backstory, when you learn about the background, when you see these chicken keeping operations and farms, little farms, and so on, within the context of the whole picture, then you get another view of it all. And as we were talking about earlier in this discussion, there's the fact that the hens, even if they haven't been bred specifically for industrialized egg production, they still have been bred for heavy and abnormal egg production. So this leads to all kinds of complications, reproductive complications, to ovarian tumors, to sometimes their bodies can only churn out so many eggs, and then their ability to keep churning out all these eggs begins to break down. So sometimes in these cases, bits and pieces of eggs will become lodged in their ovaries, or they'll just be internally producing or forming so many eggs that the eggs just get all backed up in there. And that creates a huge amount of pain, and it creates infection. And if it isn't caught in time and treated with antibiotics and the care that the hen needs, she's going to die. And she's going to die a miserable, very painful egg formation-related death. And unfortunately, except for sanctuaries, most people who are keeping backyard chickens, based on the many conversations I've had with such people as well as conversing with other sanctuaries, what we find is most backyard chicken keepers don't even think about taking their birds to a veterinarian. Many of them don't recognize the signs of illness and injury and diseases. And I myself was in that same predicament when I started taking in chickens who needed a home back in the mid-1980s. I had to learn, but in my case, I made an effort to learn. And in my case, I was very fortunate both up in Maryland and then again down here in Virginia to have found two very good veterinarians who have cared very well for our birds. But there are many places where people cannot find a veterinarian who is even willing to care for their birds. And there are many people who feel that it's just too expensive to take a bird, a hen or a rooster, to a veterinarian. So they just rather let them die, or maybe even wring their necks or do whatever they're going to do or slaughter them. Who knows? All kinds of things go on all the time. So the idea that a chicken needs veterinary care just as much as your companion dog or cat is an idea that many chicken keepers still haven't quite processed as a fact yet or as a moral obligation.
I think those are all great reasons to not keep backyard chickens for eggs. But I don't know if you know this, but there's a band of people who call themselves vegans. That is, they eat vegan, except for eggs. It seems that they are eating eggs as a source of protein, like that's the only way they can get their protein. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe they just like the taste of eggs. What would you like to say to these people who identify as vegans?
Well, okay. First of all, as you know, the idea that we need to eat any product derived from an animal's body in order to get the right amount of protein or quality of protein or whatever you want to call it is a completely bogus idea. We do not need to eat animal products in order to get all the protein that we need. So I'm not going to sit down and have a constant fight with people about all the nutritional aspects of this issue. I'm going to say, okay, first of all, it's an established fact that we do not need to eat an egg or drink mammary milk or eat any flesh from an animal in order to get sufficient protein. And in fact, in Western countries, such as the U.S. and Europe, people eat too much protein. It's one of the reasons why many people suffer from kidney problems and other problems, cardiovascular and so forth. So the idea of having to eat an egg in order to get sufficient protein is not true. So then you get to the fact that people like the taste of eggs. They like to hard boil them, or they like them deviled eggs, or they like them over easy or whatever. And in that case, all you can really do is present the facts to them and hope that they will just decide that they're going to let their hens live and enjoy their lives, that they're going to provide predator-proof yards and tender, loving care and veterinary care as needed and all of those good things, good food, good water, fresh water, nice, comfortable straw bedding and all of that, and let the hens and the roosters have their eggs. After all, their bodies produce those eggs. And if you're conscientious about it, you will not bring more chickens into the world. So since the eggs are going to exist anyway, one of the things you can do that we do and that I think is the ethical thing to do is to allow the hens and the roosters, if you have roosters, to have their eggs back to given back to them in another form, that is a form not as chicks, but as a food source. And while this sounds weird to some people, all I can say is their bodies made those eggs. Their bodies underwent the demanding biological activity of forming the eggs and laying the eggs. And if they can't have the result of their egg activity in the form of chicks, then why not let them have their eggs in the form of something to eat? In nature, this would not happen, but we have upset nature in so many ways, so we can't, on the one hand, say that, well, you know, we support animal farming, which itself is something we developed and that we don't need to do, and certainly anymore, and then say that we find it bizarre or abnormal or cannibalistic for hens and roosters to eat their own eggs. We have to make a decision. I mean, we look at all the options, and in our case and in the case of virtually all of the sanctuaries that we work with, the idea is that we want to give back to the birds something that they enjoy, given how much we have taken away from them and the life they would choose to live if they hadn't encountered our species.
Great answer. Thank you. Thank you for coming on the show today, Karen, to speak to us about the ethics of keeping backyard chickens for eggs. I think that everyone listening should probably have all the answers to all the questions they've ever wondered about that. So thanks for that. To find out more about Karen's work at United Poultry Concerns, please visit the website upc-online.org. And you can listen to our previous interview with Karen with more great info about chickens. Please go to our website and search Karen Davis in the search bar. That's at animalvoices.org. Thank you, Karen, and happy International Respect for Chickens Month to you.
Allison, it's been a great pleasure, and thank you so much for having me on your show and once again being able to speak with you and to your listeners. So thank you.
Wow, that was a great interview. So many amazing insights on this topic.
Yes, for sure. I really appreciate Karen's information. She has lived so long with chickens, and she really knows them as the animals who they are, really, because she's spent so much time with so many chickens since 1985. Now, as Karen notes, egg production for chickens is actually a tremendous burden on them, which is something that I don't think that people really think about. Like, they think that chickens will just naturally pop out an egg every day or two. She mentioned like 150 to 250 years. They've actually been bred to do that. So I think that that is definitely a cause for concern, when you just should not be supporting that kind of egg production and the chickens that are used in backyards where people consume their eggs and they think they're being treated fine. It really is just supporting the overall exploitation of animals as we have bred and domesticated them over the years. But one thing that I feel is important now, I asked Karen this question in the extended version of the interview, which you can find on our podcast at animalvoices.org. But there are people who call themselves vegans, that is V-E-G-G-A-N. And those are people who eat vegan except for eggs.
Right.
Not sure if you've heard of this this band of people.
I have. I think it's a bit ridiculous. Okay. I mean, there's already a term for that, right? It's ovo-vegetarian. That's what you are.
Oh, there you go. Right. Yeah. Okay. So apparently people do it for protein, but I'm wondering, like, I mean, it's not like you need to eat eggs for protein.
No, of course not. There are so many plant-based sources of protein if you're already eating a plant-based diet. I mean, obviously, you know, legumes are super high in protein, whole grains. There's certain vegetables are high in protein, like broccoli and kale, and, you know, soy foods like tofu and tempeh, seitan, etc. There's, tons. It's very easy to get protein without eating eggs. I don't think there are any essential nutrients in eggs that can't be found in plant foods. Some people mention choline, for example, but dietitians say that anybody following a varied plant-based diet doesn't have to worry about choline. There's plenty of choline in a variety of plant foods. So it really is just completely unnecessary, you know.
And when I think about getting protein from animal sources, or I think of bodybuilders who like to consume egg whites.
Right.
But then it also makes me think of all the amazing vegan bodybuilders out there these days. And I posted a video on our Facebook this week. Check it out. It's like all these huge muscle men, they don't need eggs, and neither do you. So one thing that I think is important to speak about as well is when you're thinking, if you might think, well, okay, I won't harm all these animals, but I'll eat eggs because the chickens are being treated well, but I'm otherwise vegan. I just really feel like that sullies the vegan message, because it's projecting a message out there that it's okay to eat some animal products, and then that's not veganism.
To exploit animals under certain circumstances, right? And I think you're absolutely right. The violence toward them starts in the breeding, and we have to think about that. It's not just about the conditions that they're kept in. It's how they're bred to, like you said, overproduce these eggs, which take such a toll on their body. I think chickens in the wild, or their wild ancestors, they only lay a couple small clutches of eggs per year, right? Yeah. It's just maybe a dozen eggs a year, or so, some kind of small number. But domesticated chickens now, and you know, as we go further along in time, they're being bred to produce more and more eggs. They lay like a couple hundred eggs a year, and it does deplete their bodies of calcium and other nutrients. It causes sicknesses, you know, illnesses in their reproductive system, and so it really is very hard on their bodies. And yeah, you're right. I think that we absolutely have to think about that and whether that aligns with vegan ethics, which it absolutely does not.
Well, my final message for everyone listening is just be vegan, because the animals need you. They can't afford for the messaging to be inconsistent and compromised. They can't afford the confusion that arises when people start to question and wonder if some types of animal use might be okay when others aren't. And then that just spirals and people are using animals again. Animals aren't here for us to eat, wear, or use for our entertainment. They're not here for us to consume their bodily secretions. The domesticated so-called farmed animals who have been born into this earth are now reliant for us humans to care for them, and they deserve to be treated with the utmost respect for the beings who they are, that is, animals who want to live and enjoy life just like we do, without the intention for using them for their products. Happy International Respect for Chickens Month, everyone.
You have been listening to Animal Voices on 100.5 FM Co-op Radio, CFRO in Vancouver, Canada. Please join us on our next show on Friday, June the 1st. We'll be featuring an interview with Ontario-based animal activists John Sackars and Amanda Barker, who will be speaking about their cross-country vegan hitchhiking journey through Canada, as well as freeganism and minimalism. We here at Animal Voices want to connect with you online. Please visit us at animalvoices.org, where you can listen to our past podcasts. You can also subscribe to us via iTunes and stay in touch with us on our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver. For today's closing piece, we have the main title from the film Chicken Run, a film about chicken liberation. It's played by my band, the Band of the 15th Field Regiment. I hope you enjoy it. Stay tuned for Radio Eco Shock with Alex Smith. Thank you so much for listening to Animal Voices today, and remember to be kind to the animals. We'll be right back.